The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servants, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marvelled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And we know the Lord will add his own rich blessing to the reading of his holy, unchangeable word. A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. This evening, we're going to look at the centurion. This man was a Gentile believer. A Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile. And what was he showing? What was he showing to his servant? What was he showing? He was showing brotherly love to him. And here, had the master not become the servant, the centurion now was doing things for the servant. And he was doing things with love in his heart. With love in his heart. This love is called hesed. That is the Jewish word for love. No one word can really describe what hesed means. There are words like kindness, loving kindness, mercy, tender mercy, dependable, loyalty. All these words can mean hesed. Now how is this man showing hesed to this man? Well, first of all, I want to say that this centurion has got the grace of God within his heart. He's got true grace within his heart. Is this what we have this evening? True grace within our hearts. I hope and pray that it is with all of us. Dependable. Loyal. This is what this servant was to this centurion. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the grace that we need in our hearts. This is how to show brotherly love to people. Of all ranks of society, the centurion here would have been quite wealthy. And when we read on, we'll see that he was quite wealthy. But the centurion here really wanted to look after his servant, who was quite possibly the lowest rank of society. And I'm positive about this, that other centurions who had servants just wouldn't have been bothered about a servant who was sick. They'd have just let them die. But not this centurion. Not this centurion. The Lord has his people everywhere. Everywhere are the Lord's people. In verse 3, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. When he heard of Jesus, when he knew that Jesus was in Capernaum, that's when he knew. That's when he knew in his heart that his servant could be healed. He knew this. This is why he went to the Lord Jesus Christ. That this was the only reason he went to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, where are we going to in our times of need? Are we going to people of the world? Or are we going to the Lord Jesus? This is a lesson for me, as well as all of us. He sent unto him the elders of the Jews, the elders of the synagogue, the people, the religious leaders, the leaders of the community. This shows us the respect that this centurion had among all ranks of society in that community. If the elders of the Jews were friends of his, and he could send them on an errand like this, that says something else about the grace of this man, and also the godliness of this man. He sent them to beseech the Lord to heal his servant. Plead with the Lord. Beg the Lord. That's why he sent them. And when the elders came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. The elders of the community, the elders of the synagogue, are now saying that this centurion is worthy. But this centurion is a Gentile. He's part of the Roman army that have took over Israel. So how can the elders say this about a Roman soldier? How is it that the elders respect this man so highly? We are told in verse 5, aren't we? For he loveth our nation. He loves our nation. He loves the Jewish people. He loved his servants. And also, he has built for us a synagogue. This tells us that this man was very, very wealthy, I believe. Very wealthy. To build a synagogue for the Jewish people. The Jewish people, the Jewish community, the elders didn't have enough money to build a synagogue. What do we think they did first of all? They went to the Lord in prayer. They went to the Lord in prayer. And also I believe the centurion was praying to God that he could do something for the people. I believe that. I believe he was also praying to God that he could do something for the Jewish people. And when he found out about this, he approached the elders and said, I have enough money to build you a synagogue. It's in my heart to build you a synagogue. This is what I want to do. I understand I'm not Jewish, and you don't have to take this offer, but I really want to help out here. And the Jewish people accepted. The elders accepted. And this man, with his money, built the synagogue. With the help of labourers, of course, and skilled men. He didn't build it on his own. He used his wealth to help people. This is what he did. Verse 4 tells us, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. And I've just spoke about the reason why the Jewish people think he was worthy. But not only this, before he placed the money to build the synagogue in the hands of the Jewish people, before he did this, he would have been doing things for the Jewish people. He would have been helping out with lots and lots of things. This was the character of this man. This was the grace of God within his heart. This was Hesed, God's love within this man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son for people like you and I. And his Son came down here. Jesus came down to show us how to live. How to live life in the proper manner. And I'm telling you now, this centurion was doing well. He was doing well in the Lord's eyes. He loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. In verse 6 we are told, then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. The elders have called him worthy, but he's calling himself not worthy. This is true humility, and it's something I need a lot more of. Humility. But this humble man was looking to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking to the power, dynamis. Dynamis is the Greek word for power. And it's where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamis. Power. He was looking to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have known in his heart who Jesus was. The Holy Spirit must have told him who Jesus was. He was full of humility. And he felt unworthy. But also, he was lifting the Lord up with his attitude, wasn't he? He was lifting the Lord up. Is this what we're doing in our attitudes? Are we humble? Are we lifting the Lord up in our attitudes? I hope and pray that I am. But I know I fall short so often. verse 7 speaks of this man's humility. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. And he's lifting the Lord up. The power of God's word is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew this. He knew this, didn't he? Do we know it? Do we know the power of God's word is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He's my Lord, he's my God. As Doubting Thomas said, when he placed his hands in the nail-pierced side, he was no longer a doubter, my Lord and my God. Verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. This man now, through the elders, is saying he has got power himself over 100 men, as well as his servant, which is mentioned here as well, his sick servant. He would have had other servants in his house. He'd have been a wealthy man, so he would have had a big house, probably. Couldn't say the word then. He would have had a big house, probably. But yet, he is saying he has power to control 100 men. He has got power to control the servants in his house. But he's got no power over the sickness of his servants. He's no power there. And he loves his servants as a brother. He loves his servants as a brother. True godliness here. The grace of God shines in this man's heart. And nowhere here am I lifting this man up. I am not lifting this centurion up. I am lifting the Lord up and the Lord's grace in this man's heart. Because it's only through the Lord's grace that we can act like this. It's only through the grace of God that we can do things like this. This man was given spiritual insights. He was given true spiritual insight of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Have we been given this true spiritual insight? Have I been given this spiritual? Only the Lord knows. Only the Lord knows. And us as individuals. The Lord is wonderful. He is good. He's full of mercy. He's kind. He's gentle-hearted. This is the God we believe in. This is the God-man, Jesus Christ. In verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He was amazed at this man's faith. A Gentile. Jesus was amazed at this man. This man's faith in him. Verse 7. But saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. This is true faith. This is true godliness. True faith that only God can give us. And then in verse 9 we are told that Jesus turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Can Jesus say this about our faith in here this evening? Can he? In Mark chapter 6, I'm going to read a few verses. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, saving that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief." He marvelled. The word marvelled is used twice in the New Testament. Once here, and once about the faith of the centurion. Once about unbelief, and once about faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I can only say one thing. Increase our faith. Lord Jesus, increase our faith in the Holy One of Israel, in Jesus, the one we are talking about this evening. The Lord marvelled at this man's faith. Verse 10, "And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Jesus answers faith. Jesus answers true faith. He always answers it, whether it's a negative answer or whether it's a positive answer. He always answers. Sometimes we are told to wait and wait and wait and wait for an answer, where the Lord is teaching us patience. And sometimes he teaches us patience through tribulation, as the servant is going through here now. He's going through tribulation. He's hurting. He's sick. Sometimes the Lord does that with us. But it's for our learning. It's for our experiential learning. And which one of us in here tonight can say, the Lord has treated me badly? None of us can say that. None of us. Because of the Lord's goodness, we are saved. That's because of his wonderful, wonderful goodness. And the grace of God that is in this man's life, this centurion's life, can also be in our life, if it's not already. Brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've read from this tonight, and I've said something about this tonight, to try and increase the faith of people here tonight, because I know people are struggling in this church. Some people are struggling with health difficulties and many other difficulties. But brothers and sisters in Christ, there is only one we can look to. And he is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.